Good morning and welcome to our April 9th Code Enforcement Board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Lucas, I understand that either is running late or she may not make it today. Mrs. Cundick?
Here.
And Mr. Sino's here.
Good morning.
All right, we have a quorum, and would anyone like to just let's do the minutes first. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting, February 12th? Are there any additions or corrections? Yeah, take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion for Mr. Smart and a second for Ms. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, approve. Okay. Would anyone like to disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. Madam Secretary, do we have any announcements?
No, ma'am. I think the only announcement was the one case, if we can bring that.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'll explain that in a minute. All right. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we'll hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the microphone. The board hears from code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. Right, now, already we're going to have something out of order because our building inspector needs to get to a meeting. So we're going to go to, are there any attorneys present too?
I think we do have two.
Okay. What case?
What is it?
That'd be case number one.
Case number one anyway? Okay, so we'll do that and then we'll go back to the lien reviews. Okay, so let's do case number four first. All right, case number four is on page three. Well, case number CEB 12-14-131, Bayshore Bath and Tennis Club Condo Association at 925 North Halifax. Please come forward. State your name.
Good morning, board members. Mike Garrett, Chief Building Official, City of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
And as a little follow-up from the case from the previous meeting, I have some rather good news to report in terms of a compliance date. The city received a building permit application yesterday, April the 8th, for the structural improvements for the steel beam and column fireproofing repair.
Wonderful.
So progress is being made. Along with the permit application, we have a project manual that describes the scope of work. We have a contractor on board, so things have expedited quite well.
All right. That's good to hear. That's good news. We were looking for a start date of the work. Would you like to come up and speak, please?
I have with us today, we have a new engineer on board.
Okay.
I want to mention that. The time frames, thank heavens, have now speeded up considerably. Where we were before, we needed to make some internal changes. They have been made.
Mm-hmm.
And we have new management, we have new engineering, and things are moving smoothly. Not only has the application for the permit been filed and the project manual, which is 107 pages of detailed preparation, but the board has managed to secure a line of credit, and we're not going to have to approach the assessment as we initially did, which actually takes more time. So wherever we are able to avoid something that takes time and find an alternate way of achieving it, we are doing it. And I'd briefly like to ask our engineer to step forward and introduce him to you. This is Mr. Joe Heller,
okay.
And he is a structural engineer who I've had the pleasure of working with on other projects. And Joe, if you could address the situation and when we're going to break ground or break rust.
Excuse me. Would you please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in? Thank you.
Yes, my name is Joseph Hiller. I'm a structural engineer, and I'm from Port Orange, Florida.
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
Yes, H-I-L-L-E-R.
Okay, raise your right hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have done on-site survey of the structural parking garages, looked at their conditions, researched proper fire proofing, and prepared the documents that you say, the project manual. I gave an estimate for the material to the contractor. He was able to put together a bid and permit documents, and like they said, he filed for the permit yesterday. As soon as he's able to get started, I would assume within probably 30 days they will be starting. The project is estimated to be about 9 months.
Great. That's terrific. All right. Are there any questions from the board?
Do we want another progress report somewhere down?
Yes, definitely. Well, yes. Chair will entertain a motion to, because, I mean, you've done everything that we've asked you to do, and we appreciate that. You have a start date for us. Right. Is there anyone that would like to come speak from?
Not everybody.
Bayshore is not everybody. Would somebody like? I mean, I just want to make sure that you have an opportunity to speak if you'd like to speak. That okay? Come on up and state your name and address for the record.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Patricia Kidron, K-I-D-R-O-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you
for this opportunity say hello. I live at the Bay Shore with my mom, who's going to be 98 in May.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lived there since 1987. She loves it. You cannot get her out of there. It's very well run now. We have a new board. We have a new board president who is a dynamo. We have a new manager who works 24/7 on our behalf. Such a refreshing change from what we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group of residents who are family, who care very much about your concerns. They are our concerns.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer came and spoke to us at a special meeting about a month ago and explained what has to be done with the fireproofing.
Mm-hmm.
We now all understand. We are all in accord. We are willing to do whatever it takes. We are on this like white on rice.
Okay.
Okay.
We really appreciate what you're doing. So we certainly are going to give you the time that you need to do it. We realize that this is not a small project, and we appreciate the fact that you have gotten on this and done all the things you've done with your association. It's refreshing to see. Thank you. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Or Mr. Jackson, would you like to speak?
Yes, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach, code enforcement. Madam Chair, members of the board, first I would like to, again, as you just said, compliment the association as well as Mr. Wickersham. He contacted me, and you may recall the staff's concern last time we were before the long dates and those types of things, and that they made the changes and they're pressing forward, and I think the staff is real pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just from what I've heard. Of course it takes diligence and hard work and a sincerity of the job, and so apparently that's what's happening, and so we're thrilled. Speaking with staff, Mr. Garcia's recommended, and I've spoken as well with Help me back there. Yeah, Mr. Garrett. And it was coming. Just give me a moment. And what we'd like to do is, it's still important for us to see them get started.
Absolutely.
So we'd like a progress report for next month,
mm-hmm.
in anticipation of them getting started.
Okay.
And then the suggestion or the recommendation is maybe a 3-month interval would probably work just fine from that point forward.
We'll do that at the next meeting. Okay.
I'd just like to say, you know, I'm glad to see all of you taking an interest
right.
in your condo. That's sometimes very rare. You have wonderful representation, and we're your neighbors. We're not. This is not an adversarial kind of thing. We're in your corner, and we just have steps we have to go through. But you're doing it right, and we don't have any. I'm speaking for myself. I don't have any problem seeing the progress you're making, and thanks very much for what you're doing for yourself.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to continue a monthly progress report beginning next month, which I think the cutoff is May 6th, or we just need the next date.
Just the next date. The next
and what is that date?
May
14th. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll give everybody time to clear up.
And we do genuinely appreciate the approach the board has had in working with us. Much appreciated.
You don't have limbs, but it's better you just do it.
Right, absolutely.
The property addition, this is not planning.
Right.
Not everybody gets up to speak. But I just felt one would be good.
It is.
It should be for
right.
Yeah, we've been all here all morning.
Okay, how about we go on to speak?
Okay. We're going to hear case number one now, CEB 10-14-111, John Katuzis, trustee, location 728 Ballou Road A. I know this is a little out of order. We'll get to everything. We're going to go back and do lien reviews next. Good morning. Please state your name and address.
Good morning, Attorney Alan Holt, 585 Ballou Road. I represent John Katuzis and Harriet Katuzis, the owners of the property. Can we
just wait and listen to what I'd like the code officers to report first to us, and we'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from you. Thank you.
I believe that other mic is down. Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is the one. Just as a reminder, where the tenant came before you because we had a challenge with a tenant that was living in a structure that was approved for commercial use. We had other issues going on as well, police issues that arose as well. But that was the principal purpose for being before you, is that this tenant was utilizing the structure for residential use when it was a commercial approval. We've had Mr. Holt come before you several times. The efforts of the owner has been that they, as a result of the improper use, has been moving forward with an eviction. And Mr. Holt just indicated to me that where they are at this point is he does have dates, which he is ready to advise the board of. And all that I know and everything that I've experienced so far with Mr. Holt is that he's just working through the process. So the timing, even though we're not thrilled that it's taking as much time as it's taking, it's just the way that the system is working.
Okay. Mr. Holt?
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Yes, as I informed Mr. Jackson, we do have a date set. I believe it's either 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It is this month in front of Judge Fields. So we're hopeful that we will have this resolved, and I'm hopeful I won't have to come back.
We're hopeful, too.
But that's where we are. I can forward the notice
that would
to
be
Mr.
Great.
Jackson's office as well.
Perfect. And if the person's still...
Yes.
And he... Yeah.
Yes, our position is that we're just asking to amend it to the next cutoff with the anticipation that they'll have it resolved, and we'll be out of here.
Okay.
I'm hopeful.
Is he still in there now?
He's still in there. He has an attorney as well, so that's kind of what slowed the process down a little bit. We've gone back and forth, but we have a date set.
Okay.
I will forward the copy of the notice to Mr. Jackson's office and Amy as well, so that way everybody has notice, and I will update you as I know.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from anyone? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until May 6th to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
A motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you. That
there you go. Try again.
I will.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of our agenda. And the first thing on the agenda are lien reviews. And we will do our first lien review, which is a lien review CEB 09-14-94, 313 South Atlantic Boulevard. The respondent present? Okay. Just state your name and address for the record for me and be sworn in.
Good morning. My name is Sherry Clifton. I'm with Clifton Management. I'm also here with Cindy Richardson and Joy Miller, who are both members of the board of the International Beach Club or Fountain Beach.
Okay. We will. If you'll just sit down for a minute, we'll listen to our... Oh, okay, swear both of them in.
Okay,
yep.
Ma'am, could you come to the microphone and say your name, please?
Sure. Cynthia Richardson, R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S-O-N. I'm a portal interpreter.
Okay. Can you both raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jackson.
I believe this came to life, yes. This is a lien review number one, and the inspector, this is one of the fire inspection cases, and David Newell is the inspector. And so I'll tender him. This basically was a case where there was an elevator, and you all may recall that. And I'll tell you the general position is that there was request of the staff is no reduction, but I'll bring Mr. Newell to come and give his complete explanation to the board on that.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Just to give you a brief history of the entire, how all this transpired going back till 2010 and where we are today, to give you a good understanding as to what has transpired throughout the city as it relates to elevators around the state and what has happened here in Daytona. So back in 2010, or back a little further than that, our state legislator under the Florida Administrative Code, in addition to Florida statutes, enacted a rule in which it said all elevators shall be upgraded to one of the Zone 5 elevator keys. Basically what that means, we've had rings of elevator keys. We go for somebody who was stuck in an elevator. You go through a huge ring and may have it or may not. So there's individuals that would stay in elevators for a long time, creating sometimes medical emergencies. So what they did is they made 7 keys in each area of the state, which was defined under this statute, that you had to upgrade to that elevator key. The state says we understand that this is going to take some time, because if you had a very old elevator, you had to upgrade to what is called a phase two, which is, I don't want to get into that, and that would cost a lot of money. That's not necessarily the case in this instance. So they gave, the state legislator gave 5 years. This was enacted on July 1st, 2008, gave them 5 years to actually complete their project. Actually gave until 2009, but if you gave them a written statement saying that for financial reasons you are going to ask for a five-year extension. They did not ask for a five-year extension. However, it was our position as the fire department and fire chief at that time that we would allow all the city elevators to make those 5 years. So we essentially waited to those 5 years. Moving forward, again, they were noticed on March 29th, 2010. And again, it was at that point just noted to them and given them the appropriate notification as required. Moving forward, again, in 2013, I had kind of, you know, missed the mark and forgot about it. So back on 2014 in February is when we first noticed the property. Went back in May and in August to do reinspections. If you remember, back in September is when the representative for the old management company came in. The lady said she'd need 60 days. At that point, you had granted that 60 days, which ended up putting us into the December meeting at that time. On December 10th, which is the day before, I believe, prior to the December meeting, we had not had any, it had not been completed yet. Since the meeting of the August meeting, I'd had no contact after several attempts to contact that management company or that lady, in addition to stopping by the property, just stopping by to see if it was taken care of. So, again, on December 10th, you enacted an ongoing fine at that time. Again, having no contact with that that person until the ladies behind me actually gave me a call when they were getting ready to take over the property. So where we were at now is when they took over the property, they got in contact with me. We went out, and I went out and actually did a reinspection, found that it was in compliance at that time. At that time, they provided me with documentation that showed that they had a signed contract and it was approved by the board in December 24th, and actually the work was completed based on the documentation from the ladies behind me, in addition to the elevator contractor, that it was completed December 30th. So at that time, working with staff, we went ahead and did the reduction at that time to go back to the December 30th date as far as the fine is concerned, because, again, we weren't notified, but we felt at that time that the work had been completed, so therefore we at least should remove that deduction to that point, even though we weren't notified. The staff's recommendations to keep it as it is, because of the reduction in the time frame that it has taken to complete this, remembering that this was noticed in 2010, they are supposed to have had it done by July 1st of, you know, after that. However, the five-year extension, they didn't do the five-year extension, but we did that as a courtesy. Do understand that the ladies behind me also are the new management company. I have worked very well with them thus far and have been in contact with them a lot since then. So as far as the new management company is concerned, they've been doing everything that they can in contact with me to get this taken care of.
Okay, Mr. Jackson.
If I can just summarize one or two points from that. Mm-hmm. One is that our fines look at the egregiousness, the effort of for compliance, the history of what's occurred on this property, and Ms. Newell has expressed and explained that what has occurred here is ultimately the fine was imposed on a commercial property that represented numerous people with a requirement for compliance for a matter of safety and well-being for everyone that was in that building. And it was not until the fire was lit under them that the compliance actually occurred. And, well, so to speak, yes, that the compliance actually occurred, and the amount that actually accrued is comparatively relatively small, in that it's only $1,900 when we look at the time and the effort that's been put in by staff up to this point, and staff believe it's reasonable that there'll be no reduction.
Okay. All right. Ladies, would I come forward and speak, please?
Good morning again.
Good morning.
I'm Sherry Clifton. It's the first time I've been in front of a city council, because generally I've run about
We're not a council. We're just a board of citizens.
Well, right. It's the first time for me, for any of this, because we get letters from the city, and we comply as immediately as we possibly can, which with this client's case, we did as well. Clifton actually didn't even start till March 1st. We started communications the minute that my client knew. They didn't even know that all this was going on due to the predecessor. Right now we're working on some front landscaping and enhancement, which of course will benefit the A1A corridor, which is in Daytona Beach. And we're really just looking for a bit of leniency on a $2,000 fine, which will cover, you know, quite a few new plants and such. And, you know, I think they had come into compliance. The problem was there was just simply no communication between my predecessor, their client, and the city. And if there's anything that this board could do to give a little bit more leniency on that fine, we would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. What, do you have something to add?
Only that I am the president of the board. Mm-hmm. This board has always intended to be in compliance. In fact, we thought we were from what we were told by our previous management company. And we didn't even receive notifications because, by record, that CAM manager got our notifications and did not tell us. So we've really solved two things. We've rectified the problem, and we have a new Clifton Management Company, and we intend to always be in compliance.
Okay. Do I have questions from the board?
Just a question. You said that the board had no knowledge whatsoever that this hadn't been done, or it needed to be done and wasn't done?
It needed to be done, and in our November meeting minutes, we did indicate that we passed the funds to do that, and we thought that the order had been made, and the process was happening. And then we found only did we find... Our attorney found that there was a lien against the building when an owner tried to sell a unit. That was our first indication. Oh, my, this didn't happen. So we looked into it further and relieved our previous CAM manager and got a new one and are moving forward.
Any other questions? So staff's recommendation is because of everything that's been involved in the amount of time that we should leave the fine as is.
Just to reiterate what Sherry just said, in the board member notes, it does say in November's board meeting that it was approved to do that. I don't know, between the November and December 24th signing of the contract, not sure what happened between there, but at that time it was, again, completed by December 30th. But yes, the numerous amounts of time that we're out there is kind of where it stands. Plus the reduction of fine from not having contact with the previous management company in between time.
What was
date? Or sir?
And I'm sure it's in here of the initial 2010. What month?
It was March. I have it right here. It is March 29th, 2010.
And when did the five-year courtesy thing go into effect?
It would have been July 1st of 2013 was the compliance date that the 5 years would have, through the Florida statute. So that's when the 5 years would have been up, July 1st of 2013.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't, I didn't catch that until the beginning of 2014, which is when I started the notice to what was International Beach Club Condo Association, is where all of the correspondence went to.
So they actually went over almost 2 years past the courtesy 5 years.
About a year. Yeah, about a year. So from the time of notice to the time of notice to the time of... correct, yes.
On the letter it says, Davis, it's Fountain Beach
Resort.
Is that the same place?
It is.
Change your name, or is that...
It's a DBA.
No. Okay.
Right. All certification and proper notices were done from 2010 up through now, so that information is taken care of.
I'm willing to make the motion to accept the fine as it is.
Well,
go ahead, one more.
I was just going to say, you know, even when that notice was going to go out, I don't know if any of you sit on condominium boards, but chances are they rotated board members, they rotated other management companies. There was probably a lot of involvement in a five-year, you know, time frame. Well, when they first probably got that letter, most people said, we have 5 years, and, you know, maybe didn't give it the concern that it needed. And I hate to say that when the true concern came in, the board does feel that they really did attend to it as quickly as possible. And again, any leniency that can be given, we would appreciate it.
Absolutely. I might be out of line here. I serve on the condo board. And this communication between professional management team and rookie boards, it's really the management team that caused this, and they're really the ones.
Well, all right, that's not for us to.
No,
I mean, what?
What I'm saying is, before you're using them as the excuse, and it's entered into the record. All right. I'm just simply saying, you have recourse.
Harrington, is your microphone on?
Yes, I'm just sitting back.
Would Mr. Harrington, would you like to make that motion again?
I make the motion that we accept the fine as recommended by staff at $1,948.72.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. One, Mr. Smart.
Vote?
Yeah, let's have a roll call, please.
Roll call vote.
Times?
Yes.
So this is a motion for no reduction.
Correct.
No reduction.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
The motion is for no reduction, right. So they add my voting yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Kendrick?
Yes.
Please.
Motion carries. All right, let's do a lien review number 2. 7CB01-15-01, 729 Edwards Street, Patricia Bogan Robles. Respondent present.
She is.
All right, please be sworn in, and then we'll hear from staff first, and then you'll get an opportunity to speak. Just state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Patricia Bogan Robles. My address is 4200 Heath Circle South, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Raise your right hand, please. Do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay, we'll hear from staff, please.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is lien review for the property at 726 Edwards Street. The staff member who has handled this case and has responded to review is John Stinson. The recommendation of staff in this situation is for no reduction. And I will tender Mr. Stinson to the board to further explain his request for no reduction.
Okay. Mr. Stinson?
Good morning. John
Stinson. Good
morning. Code enforcement inspector. My credentials are on file with the city. This case first began. This case first began on 9/8. 2014. The property was brought into compliance The compliance date is 3/5/2015. The fine was imposed on 2/12/2014. So that will give you some idea of the time frame that this case has been going on.
Can I ask you to clarify something?
Yes.
All right. So it first came before us in 9/8/2014. Came into compliance 3/5/2015.
That's correct.
And on 2/12/14 or 15?
I'm sorry, that was 15.
Okay, there we go. Okay, I had a question about that anyway, so there should be 2/12/15. Okay.
I read it wrong.
Well, whatever. I just wanted to clarify it. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all I have.
Okay. Okay.
It is correct on the paperwork.
Yeah, okay. All right. Ms. Robles?
Yes. Well, I come before the court to ask the leniency of the court. I'm a layperson. I have no idea how these issues truly work, except that I know that I did everything I could to get this work completed in a timely manner. I hired several people, as I told you in a previous time. Someone took money, left, did not complete work. I hired another contractor. I got the permits that were required. I did everything I could to try to move her along, but for some reason, it wasn't until the fines started to happen that she finished the work in 4 days. So all I know is that I paid people to try to get this work done for me. You say it's my property, it's my fault, it's my, you know, problem. But when you do everything you can, and I'm 300 miles away, I was ill. I couldn't be here the last time that you had court. I was hospitalized. I was being evaluated for surgery. I couldn't be here at the time that the fine was imposed upon me. But as soon as I got on my feet, I got here. And every time I've been required to do something, I may not have known the process to get it done in terms of dealing with the city, but I'd start hammering and nailing and doing everything I could to put things in order in my home. So when I first came here to court, I asked for a little time. I was not granted that time. I hired somebody, a contractor, that said that they could do it in a timely manner. They did not, but I'm held responsible. So all I can do is ask the mercy of this panel.
Okay, thank you. Do I have any questions from the board? The recommendation then is to leave the fine as it is. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Mrs. Himes made a motion to leave the fine in place. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, aye. Sign, opposed.
I'll do a roll call again.
Need a roll call again.
Amy,
roll call for, I'm sorry.
Motion was to deny the reduction.
Madam Chair, Mr. Sino, just so the board is aware, and whether it affects how someone votes or not, our rules and regs require 4 affirmative votes for leave review.
That's, I wondered about that the last time.
Yeah, so
okay.
We brought everyone back for reconsideration
on
that, but just
yes.
For this meeting, just
okay.
Likewise.
So require 4 to reduce.
Right.
Right. They didn't reduce that time.
Okay, so you're satisfied with the majority vote?
Yeah. I mean, you can vote again if you want.
Okay. I don't think we need to vote again if we don't need to. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But
just some clarification.
In order to reduce, you need 4 votes.
Right.
We need to reduce, so I don't really need 4 votes for it.
All right. I have a question.
Go ahead and retake it again. Let's do it first.
Please. Thank you. All right. We are having a roll call vote at this point on This is lien review number two, motion to not reduce the fine, to leave the fine as is.
Motion
in
the second.
Mrs. Himes made the motion. Mr. Harrington made the second.
Mrs. Himes?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Cabot?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Okay, 4-1.
Let's go ahead and we'll reconsider that this is what I think the record clean. Well, let's finish with her.
There are certain costs, and I just feel like I need to explain to both of you that there are certain costs incurred by the city that need to be recouped, and we have to go through this whole process and involve building inspectors, fire inspectors, our code enforcement people, and these are fairly minimum fines. So that's the reason we need to do this. We need to recoup some of our costs, and that's really what we're doing in these cases. So I just wanted to say that so you can see, Amy. Please, motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
So going back to the previous order, they are correct. It takes four votes to reduce it, but you weren't making a motion to reduce. You're making the denied reduction, which in my opinion only requires a majority vote.
Mr. Cino, I agree with you.
If you want us to go and clean it up, we can clean it up.
Well, after we read it, I mean, what it says is four votes for affirmative relief.
Right.
And so the relief that was being sought was a reduction. And so it needs four votes for that reduction.
Right.
So I agree with that interpretation. I hadn't read it that way before, but I absolutely agree with that interpretation.
But if the city wants to go ahead and revote, but someone wants to make a motion to reconsider, that's fine. But in my opinion, we did what we were supposed to do.
And our principal interest was just wanted to make sure that everything ended up fair, and that's why we went back to look at the rule and brought them back just in case there was some action that was needed. If no action is needed, and I think from your explanation, I fully agree with the interpretation of the rules and regs. So it's up to the board, as you indicated, but we're not asking.
I don't think that we need to redo the vote. If you all have a different opinion, please tell me.
No, I agree with you, but certainly the board has the right to make a motion to reconsider.
Okay, if anybody. Okay. Do you understand?
I understand that all boards have good times sometimes. It sounds like you all are.
All right, so is that...
Yes, let's say, for example, the vote had been 3-2 against the motion. Then at that point, even if someone had made a positive motion to reduce, you would only have three votes. The motion would have been defeated anyway, only having three votes.
Well, if you're going to call for a revote, and there's maybe a possibility that it might come 3-3 this time, of course...
It has to be 4-1.
I understand.
So that's...
But we don't think that... Yeah. Due to the interpretation from our legal staff that we need to have a revote. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's move on to lien review number three. These are two lien reviews in one, right? Two cases in one?
Yeah, this is a little bit different than what we have dealt with before.
Okay. All right, well, let's just start it. Lien review number three, CEB 07-04-224 and CEB 09-05-403, 417 Fletcher Street. Is the respondent present?
No, ma'am. We're actually bringing this as an administrative item.
Okay.
Staff is bringing it forward at their request. And basically all it is that the two liens that are against 417 Fletcher are encumbering a separate property in Ormond Beach. It's a cross encumbrance by name because Mr. Maddox was on a quick claim deed or a personal representative's deed for a short period of time, and then it was transferred to another owner. It's an encumbrance issue is really what it boils down to.
Yeah, sometimes we're able to handle those by administrative action, depending on what effect they're having ultimately on their actual ultimate legal authority. What we determined looking at these liens is that they are still active, lawful liens, and so they are under the authority of the board to consider if there is any reduction. Typically, administratively, we do make those reductions, and as you see even here, the staff has made the recommendation of approval for a partial release with this administrative cost of $250.
Yeah, that's
typical of what we do, the minimis amount, just to satisfy just what's going on the external that's not related to the property itself where the lien has arisen. And I believe this case is one where there's actually a different property owner that's being affected.
What happened was previously, I think it was Mr. Maddox's parents or a relative owned that Washington Street property in Ormond Beach. It's a vacant lot. They're deceased. There was a personal representative's deed with airing it to like six or seven children. He was listed as one of the children. Then it was sold out of the probate to another individual who then subsequently lost it at tax deed sale to the current owner now. So tax deed sales don't, so there's that short period of time where these two liens happened where Mr. Maddox was actually a partial owner of the property, and then it's encumbering from way back then.
You know, we want to encumber the property to force the individual to come compliant with the property in question?
He can't. It's not Mr. Maddox who owns the property anymore. He's twice removed. This is an out-of-state person who bought the vacant land at tax deed sale 4 years ago. It's still a vacant land.
This is vacant land.
In Ormond Beach, yes.
What's that got to do with us?
Because the way code enforcement liens attach, they are general liens, as we've said many times before. They attach to all property.
Right.
Well, the owner at the time, they attach to all property. However, the person who acquired it in that condition because of the nature of the manner which was acquired. And so they were not in any way directly involved in this event other than purchasing a piece of property that had a secondary encumbrance.
But isn't that something they should know when they buy the property?
Well, sometimes.
I mean, I can tell you.
I don't know. I'm very.
Not if the city doesn't buy the property because of the
lien. No.
And that's why we do a partial release. The partial release still leaves. I mean, if we really felt that there was someone who should be held on to it, would be the one that we initially imposed it on, and so we don't release it from that. In this situation, I believe it's deceased, but we don't release it from the original person or the original property generally where it arose. So it's not that the lien has disappeared and the lien is still applying to the land in which it was initially imposed. Mm-hmm. It's just attaching to a piece of land in another city that someone purchased through a deed purchase and the way that the state law is that does not, unlike foreclosure, which would generally, as we've talked before, wipe out municipal liens, tax deed doesn't automatically wipe out municipal liens.
And additionally, these older liens may not have shown up on a title search because the parcel numbers are not listed on the actual order imposing fine liens. Long time ago, they weren't put on there.
That's pretty important to know.
And it's more functional that it occurs because of just the function of law. And not because, so it's something that they may miss because we would not have necessarily have even thought automatically that a property in Ormond was being tied up, other than the fact that they've gone and having run a title report and trying to get through the free title for the warranty deed, it appears, and now they have to deal with it. And as I said, many times the reality of the lien itself is that it's not collectible by us. But because it's tying up the title, they still have to come to us to resolve it. And when that's the situation, then we resolve it administratively. In this situation, it really you know, arguably, technically, it's collectible by us. So it's the board's authority to make this decision.
You lost me. What's the difference between an administrative authority and then it's the board's responsibility? If it's administrative, why don't you go ahead and do it? Why are you asking this board to do an administrative task for you?
In this instance, it's not.
Right. You probably heard something different. It's not that it's a different type of lien. It's that the effect of a lien, the authority of a lien, is different. In some liens, they're not collectible. We know they're not collectible. The person who is trying to close, the title company knows. I mean, I don't know about title company, but the closing agent knows it's not collectible. But the nature of warranty deeds and title work, that they still require some kind of type of clearing. And so they seek that authorization for a clearing, which is then not a collectible lien, and so it's not something we come to the board for.
All right, I have a question. The first lien was imposed on 8/6/2004. The compliance date was 6/24/2009. That's five years. The second lien was imposed on 10/7/2005, and the compliance was 6/24/2009. I suppose these properties got knocked down.
No, ma'am. It's still a standing building.
It's the property in Ormond that's
correct.
Okay,
correct. It was just a.
So, and I further think, was anybody on the board? I guess I'm just not understanding this, because it looks to me like.
What we're asking for basically is just administrative costs to for preparing and signing and recording a partial release.
This is the bottom line of the name. His name was on it. That's
yes.
What created.
Yes.
Because once the name is on it, it becomes all property.
Correct.
Forever.
It's in the county.
That's correct.
Yes.
Just to simply put it, what the staff is asking for is for the board to grant us an order to collect the administrative costs of the action that we're going to take now in order to release that property in Ormond Beach. The violation occurred here in our city, and the lien was placed in our city. However, it encompassed a property in Ormond Beach.
Okay.
And it still now remains.
I'm getting it. So this lien is still on this property.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the violator is no longer not associated at all with Ormond.
Now it's making sense to
okay.
me. Okay.
Sorry.
Good. Thank you.
Nice lady.
Thank you very much. So the board will entertain a motion for a partial release of liens against 230 South Washington Street
in
Ormond Beach.
In the amount of $250.
In the amount of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Motion by Mr. Smart. Second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Sorry about that. I just wanted to understand it.
No, that's good.
We
this is very rare, as Amy said.
Okay.
We typically don't have to
okay.
come.
Thank you. All right, now we'll get back to the agenda.
And actually, Madam Chair, I think we have an engineer here for a specific case who
okay.
has another appointment, if it's possible at all to.
What case would that be?
Number 9.
All right, number 9 is that. Okay, let's get to that. Number 9 is an old case. All right. And we will jump to number 9. So much for order today.
Sorry.
We will jump to case number 9, CEB 0215-09, Denise Black at 726 North Beach Street. All right. The respondent present, Mr. Hopkins, would you come forward and be sworn in, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you state your name, please?
State your name.
Joe Hopkins.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It is, yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, my name is Joe Hopkins. I have the pleasure of representing Ms. Black in this case.
Okay. We're going to let us listen to staff first. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from you. Thank you.
I believe what Mr. Hopkins was about to say is that they're making good progress. That's what the inspectors reported to me, that this property is moving along in terms of compliance. It's tenant occupied. A request of staff was for the order to be amended to the June cutoff date.
They're working on it diligently.
Sorry, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald, so I'll attend to him to speak.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm with the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. The property is pulled a permit. They've done a tremendous amount of work. We're just waiting for the final paint on the sides and the back of the building, and then it will be completely finished.
And these are old pictures. Yeah, these are old pictures. Yeah. Okay.
New ones up there. I'd have to go look.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Hopkins.
Yes, again, Madam Chairman, for the record, my name is Joe Hopkins at 100 Marina Point Drive here in Daytona Beach. As Mr. Fitzgerald indicated, when we began work on this, the one photo that showed the limited damage around the windows, we felt that we would be able to go in and do some remedial repairs. It was much more than that. It was we had to completely dismantle the front of the building, reconstruct it, and that work has been finished, and the front of the building has been painted. We're working on the sides on some sheet metal work, and then we'll proceed with the painting of the rest of the building. So we're making progress. It's a little bit more than we anticipated.
And when do you think that you will be finished this work?
Weather permitting, I think we should be complete within the next 30 days.
Okay. Terrific. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff day. June cutoff date? That is June
3rd.
I thought he said within the...
Staff's request was to the June cutoff date.
Okay, that's fine.
We believe that.
Is that
be
all right?
Fine.
All right.
The cutoff wouldn't have given them 30 days.
Okay, allow respondent until June 3rd to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $100, $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right, motion carries.
Thank you very much.
So, till the next cutoff day.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, yes, case number two is in compliance, so we have case number three. We're going back in order again. CEB 12-14-130, La Atlantica Condo Association, care of Heart Pro Realty at 1404 North Atlantic Avenue. It's present. Hello. Good morning. Would you, if you want to testify, please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in?
Paul Hart, Heart Pro Realty, 18 Boulevard Avenue, Ormond Beach.
Chuck Hayes, Keystone Engineering, HAYS.
Sir, are you going to be testifying? Okay. Can you raise your right hands, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hampton.
Okay, we will hear from staff first.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, the staff is ecstatic by the progress and the reporting of this respondent, and they've been giving us weekly reports, and the progress that they made is acceptable, and so we are, I don't know, did we already have a compliance date, or were we at that point? It
no,
doesn't
sir.
Say it here.
I don't think we've set a compliance date yet. Right.
But the progress and the efforts are sufficient and satisfactory to the staff.
Okay.
And the reports have been provided to the board.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Do you want to say anything?
No.
Okay.
You're good. So, we have it scheduled for every single month.
Mm-hmm.
through the rest of the year.
Do you have any idea how long it's going to take to finish all the work?
Yes, sir. The final structural concrete was poured yesterday for the emergency actions. We have reached substantial completion of the structural repairs that prompted the shoring that brought code enforcement in. Keystone initiated shoring in advance of a building permit as emergency action. So this first phase is what we're calling it, which was to implement a $300,000 special assessment by the Board of Directors, which carried. Collections are in progress. It appears, now that we're substantially complete, we're going to be right around $160,000, $170,000. So the remaining funds, Keystone's going to meet with the Board of Directors and prioritize that remaining funds because we came in significantly under what we initially estimated. There were no building plans, so once we got started, the initial budget was inflated to where now we can move and do some other remedial repairs and get into a proactive plan rather than reactionary. So the last of the initial permitted process is going to be completed next week, and we'll be calling for the final inspection.
Really? That's wonderful.
And then another follow-up is what Keystone's planning is we will create a letter of compliance with the initial citation, which included some comments from David Newell when I asked him to come to the site because of some concerns about egress when we put place of shoring and all that. We'll create a letter of what frequency that we'll be doing follow-up inspections with a repair plan for later this fall, beginning in mid-August, and not just for luxury, but because of impact to full-time occupants. So we want to give them a little bit of lead time that they can maneuver, and because we're actually inside the units. It's very disruptive inside the units with the shoring and hard wall barricades. So we'll get past this emergency reaction and plan ahead.
Okay. Okay. Staff's final recommendation? Continue the progress report?
Yeah, we're happy with the progress. We want to keep on where we are as far as the monthly report, and we'll see where we are.
Okay.
Sounds like they're moving really well.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to continue monthly progress report.
Do we need a motion? I don't know.
We have a motion.
We do.
What I'm saying is the previous order already has
all the way up through December.
That's correct.
Okay. We'll see you next month. Thank you. Hope things keep going well.
What?
Well, they've just been doing weekly for us, which I applaud, but I think, you know.
We need to get it once a month.
Once a month, then you come back to us, you don't need to.
Right, and that's already ordered, correct?
Right, okay. That's what the order is once a month.
I have one more question to follow up with the Board of Directors. Hypothetically, if we call for the final inspection from the building department, we come to the May meeting, is there a possibility that we can be released and not have to continue through the meetings until December?
That's up to staff. I think the concern was that if we didn't meet with you, nothing would get done. If they want to work it out every other month, that's up to staff. Huh?
Right, so come back next month.
Hold on.
We can talk about it with... I would suggest getting with the inspector and Mr. Garcini's, and then obviously we can discuss that at the next meeting, and you know, as we see how we're going along, and maybe be able to stretch it a little longer.
Right.
Okay. He may be able to give you a report to Mr. Garcini if everything's going well.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'm having a compliance.
Okay, please. Please excuse Mr. Harrington, but we still have a quorum, so we are going to continue. All right. We did case number 4. We did case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, that's where we are right now, right? Okay. Case number CEB 02-15-06, James M. Alley. And the address is 832 Madison Avenue. Is there anybody, respondent present? Nobody's here. No one was here last time either. So
Mr. Stenson or Mr. Jackson?
This is before you for imposition of a fine.
Mm-hmm.
The inspector is John Stenson, and I will tender Mr. Stenson to the board.
Okay.
Good morning. John
Good morning.
Stenson, code enforcement inspector. My credentials on file with the city. This came as a citizen's complaint. There was a fire damage. The case actually began on 7/11/2014. Since then, I've had multiple conversations with the daughter. The actual property owner is deceased. It's heir
right.
to his children. Apparently, there's something going on there. However, the property has not been addressed at all. It's deteriorating now. The roof is basically caving in. The windows are busted out now, even after it's been boarded up. So this is a problem, and no one there would take any action. So the city is asking for the imposition of a fine, $200 a day, to be maxed out at $10,000.
All right, Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion Mr. Smart, second Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, post. Motion carries. All right, case number 7, CEB 0215-07133 Pierce Avenue Land Trust at 133 Pierce Avenue. Respondent present. Okay, Mr. Stenson, what would you like to tell us?
Yes, ma'am. This is also a property on the on the east side. It's a multi-structure property. I mean, it's two structures on the same property.
Okay.
They both are extremely dilapidated. It's currently vacant. I've had multiple contacts with the property manager. They actually came into town on more than one occasion from the West Coast. Unfortunately,
the West Coast of Florida?
No, the West Coast of the United States. Unfortunately, even with them coming occasionally, nothing has happened. The last conversation I had with the property managers was that they were attempting to sell the property. I advised her of what was happening and the fact that the city would be moving forward with the imposition of a fine. And I have heard nothing since then.
Okay.
So we're asking for $250 a day to be maxed out at $15,000.
At $15,000.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just one address for both properties, is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain. Is there any discussion? Would anyone like to say anything? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion from Mr. Harrington, second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Hmm. All right. Did we do case? Okay, we're doing case number 8. Okay. CEB 02-15-08, Henry Wimenta at 158 Arlington Avenue. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in, and then we'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from you, okay?
My name is Henry Wimenta. The address is 158 Arlington Avenue.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you the opportunity to come back up and speak. Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is the case number 8, the property at 158 Arlington Avenue. The inspectors advised that the owner that's before is a new owner and that he's done a lot of work. He's pulled permits, but the inspector does not believe that the 30-day period to our next cutoff will be enough time, and he's asking that it be amended to the June cutoff. So the request of the inspectors that we amend this to the June cutoff.
Of course, there was an extra 60 days thrown in there because we didn't meet last time, right?
I think the inspectors advised
or was
that
it
that's
a
when
60
the
day?
When the change of ownership arose.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay.
And as I said, Mike Fitzgerald is the inspector, and I will attend to Mr. Fitzgerald if there's any other
okay.
factual questions.
All right.
The new owner has pulled permits. He's done a tremendous. This is Mike Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city.
Okay.
The new owners pulled permits. The front building is about 98% done.
Oh, wonderful.
You'll see the photographs will come up.
Okay.
And he's pulled the permits. The back building, the stairs are gone. The entire side of the building is going to be new. They're putting windows in. They pull permits for all those things. And you'll see the see this right here. You'll see the new pictures. That's the back of the front building. It actually has a date on it. Give me 1 second, let me go look.
That's right. In the
okay. Let me take a moment and
that's
take
a
request if anyone has any.
I don't really. I was want do we want to.
I did want to find out something.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's just something I think a little more comfort with the ones that are in compliance. Typically, go ahead and announce the case number of the property. We kind of just been announcing the item number.
Okay.
So we may want to go take this so we can get on record that the board's approving the compliance or acknowledging the compliance.
I thought that if I said, you mean you want me to say the case number?
Well, I mean, okay. You've been saying like case number.
I have been saying case number CEB, whatever it is, on each one, didn't I?
The last one you did.
I didn't this one? I thought for sure.
It may have been just the last one.
All right. Okay. Anyway.
Let's point it out.
Case number, okay, CEB02-15-08, Henry Wimeta, address 158 Arlington Avenue. No, that's not what you're talking about.
The one that is in compliance.
Oh, the one in compliance.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, got that.
For example, like number 5.
Yeah. Well, okay, number 2. Case number CEV11-14-120, Michelle McGee and Kenneth Wright III.
Is in
compliance as of 3/4/2015. Then we have case number 5, CEB01-15-04, Keyston and Malin at Chana. The case is in compliance as of 3/27/2015. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, we solved that problem.
Items.
We solved that problem. All right. Are we back to where we're going to look at pictures? Yes, there was a lot of damage. Okay.
Can't we accept the word of the code enforcement?
Yes, I'm willing to accept that, you know, when you say that there's that much work done, we can accept that.
Madam Chair, yes. Apparently, the code inspector had put his folders in, but of course, with technical errors,
okay,
we can't locate
that's
pictures
fine.
Now.
That's fine. All right, so let's hear from Mr. Romenta. We'll give him a chance to come up and tell us all the work he's done.
I'm done, about 98% from the building, yes. About 45% back building. And
okay.
Still need time, maybe around 2 months.
How long do you think it will take you to finish up this work?
Less than 2 months.
Less than
yes.
2 months. Okay. All right. What's your recommendation, Mr. Fitzgerald or Mr. Jackson?
The recommendation, Madam Chair, is for the June cutoff date.
Okay. That to amend the previous order.
That's correct.
Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the June cutoff date, which is June 3rd, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Smart, second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right, motion carries. So you have until June, the beginning of June. So thank you, and thank you for doing all the work.
Is your current mailing address the 158 Arlington now, or is it a different one?
We did Mr. Hopkins. All right, case number 10, case number CEB-02-15-100, William B. Parnell at 218 Kingston Avenue. Mr. Parnell here? No? All right, we'll hear from code officers, please.
Okay.
Or attorneys.
All right,
my email only myself, not with the other person.
Oh, I don't have them on here. I have your email address.
Yes.
Just leave off the other report.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case is before you for imposition of a fine. This is the property at 218 Kingston Avenue. The property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. He's asking for an imposition of a fine of $250 per day to $15,000 plus the $250 one-time fee for the business tax receipt. And I tender Mr. Fitzgerald to explain further any factual information regarding the case.
Okay. Mr. Fitzgerald.
The property still hasn't been brought back into compliance. The box truck is still out front. There's still outside storage, and there's been no change.
Okay. Any questions from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day and an additional one-time fee of $250 for the business tax receipt against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, a motion from Mr. Jones. Is there a second? A second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much. That's done. All right, now we're going to move to our new cases. Number 11, case number CEB-04-15-11-FD Shaw at 1030 Continental Drive. Is the respondent present? All right, we'll hear from staff.
This is complaint driven from the neighborhood watch. This is
the property is still in non-compliance. The inspector informs me that the BTR has been applied for, or was applied for on April 8th, just yesterday. So we would ask that you give them until next cutoff to come into compliance, and we'll see where we are.
So that's the only thing we're dealing with is the BTR, and it's been applied for?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Well, they got in under the wire, didn't they? Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
Actually, Madam Chair, it would be consideration of the one-time administrative
fee. All right. It's not $1,000 a day. The one-time administrative fee of $250 is the new motion. So
we even need a motion if...
Right. Yes. Yeah.
$250 one way or the other.
Right. That's right. It's just $250. Is there such a motion? One-time fee of $250.
I have a comment.
Okay.
On this.
Go ahead.
This came before us,
this is the first we've seen it
in February.
Mm-hmm.
An individual waited until yesterday to apply.
Correct.
I have a problem.
Well, we didn't have a meeting last month.
But yet the person was notified. Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Good work.
Yeah. I don't know that if it's just for this violation, do we have...
Well...
It's simply for this violation, and he has applied for the permit.
Yeah, and I think Mr. Cena would tell you the same with any violation on the initial meeting, and that's what this is. We're making a finding of compliance or non-compliance.
Right.
Other than when we're doing repeat violations with this type
right.
of violation,
we can't punish
them on the initial
now,
meeting.
He's applied for this. Does that mean he has to have an inspection in order to get this?
Yeah. See, right. He's not complete yet. The only thing he's done is comply. So we're asking for next... cut off for him to come into compliance, which will be having it issued, meeting the requirements for getting it issued.
So if he hasn't had his inspection by then, or he doesn't, he fails it, then we're back on square one.
That's correct.
Well, but he would have to be brought. Do we have to start the case over?
No.
He would be returned because.
I was just corrected that the announcement of the motion is being returned for consideration of the one-time administrative fine, not the $1,000 per day.
Okay.
That's the only thing that
all right. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fine for business tax receipt of $250. Is there such a motion? Motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed, motion carries. Okay. Let us move on to number 12, case number CEB 04-15-12, Jean A. Snyder at 212 Strawberry Lane. All right. Is the respondent present? Okay, well, why don't you come up and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in, and then you can sit down there and we'll give you a chance to talk after we hear from Code.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Jean Ann Snyder. I live at 212 Strawberry Lane, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32117. I've been living there since 1988.
Is it Snyder or
Snyder?
Yeah.
Snyder, S-N-Y.
Okay. Sorry, we didn't have it correct.
That's okay.
All right, let me sworn in. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, this matter is before the board for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. And Mr. Stinson is the inspector. I tend to Mr. Stinson to give you the factual information.
Okay. Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed by the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file with the city. This case was complaint generated. I'm sorry, field generated for dilapidated roof and junk vehicle. The junk vehicle is on the right side of the property. The owner's properly noticed. There has been some activity, unfortunately. There has work has begun on the roof. Unfortunately, it's been done without permits. The junk vehicle has now been moved from the side slash backyard, and at last inspection, it was parked in the front yard, still being qualified as a junk vehicle because it did not have a valid tag on it. So the conditions of the property has actually worsened. Besides the dilapidated roof and the junk vehicle, the roof is still in disrepair. The junk vehicle remains, and now we're at the point where the property owner has begun work without the proper permits. So we're saying non-compliance, and that's cut off.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Snyder.
Just for the record, it's Ms. Snyder.
Ms. Snyder, sorry.
I'm not going to make this long, but I need to get some earlier information. After 35 years, I lost my job at Embry-Riddle. My life has changed. I have gone through Quicken to try to get a refinance. We're going through VA because I'm a veteran. The VA requires that we get a new roof. I needed to find out a way that I could do that without using money that I didn't have. So I had to get a credit card, and we needed to get started. So we did not do a roof before then. We had some people try to help repair the roof. But on Monday, we went in and filed for owner-builder so that the roof could be done in compliance. They did not. We're not doing the whole roof. They were just trying to repair a leak on that north side of the house. And the only reason we had to wait that long was to find a way to do it that would allow me to not take money out that I did not have to pay for the roof. The car is Charles. Charles Malicote and I lived together. We've been together 7 years. That was the car he came in with. It needed repairing. I was unaware, which is my ignorance, that you couldn't put a car in the back of your yard to work on, because I've certainly seen plenty of cars out and about that people were working on. It has gotten worn because it was worn when he drove up to the house the first time, but he wanted to sell it at a decent price and he needed to repair it. So we have a big backyard and we were going to move it around the back so that he could work on the car. It didn't have a license because the car had not been used for over a year and he didn't want to get his license until he has a license, but he didn't get his registration until he had gotten the car fixed. That way he could pass it on to the next person. Then we found out we were out of compliance with the car and the roof. And because the car had to drive into the backyard, we had to kind of disconnect the fence. So these are the issues that came up about this. I recognize the fact that it took time for me to find the finances and resources to get started on this whole thing. But we are on plan. The owner builder should be within the next 2 to 3 days. It should be okay. They said that would be 5 to 7 days for that owner-builder permit to be approved. At that point, they've stopped what they're doing. They were only going to fix the leak on the north side of the house so that it would stop draining on a seam in the inside of our living room. At that point, we're going to go ahead and get the roof done. But nothing has been done by them except to repair the leak on the north side. And we did that, and it's got the underlayment on it, and we're waiting until the owner-builder permit goes through.
To put on a new roof or to just repair?
No, VO wants a whole new roof. And so,
you're talking about a new roof now.
A new roof, which is the reason for the owner-builder permit.
Mm-hmm.
And because this wasn't putting on a new roof, but just a repair,
So you've repaired the problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but only initially. We want the whole roof.
I understand.
Back. Yeah. Okay. The fence, however, I'm going to call AAA and have them do that this week. We had a...
Do what?
The fence is not apparently...
It's not in it.
Okay, fine. I thought it
don't
was.
Don't make more problems.
I thought it was. No, okay. And the car, he moved it out front because we're just going to stick it in the garage while he's working on it. When he sells it, then we'll get it out of there.
But if it's in the garage, it's not a problem.
I know. The point is... There's so much stuff because we're trying to remodel a 65-year-old house. In the garage, he needed to move everything out so he could get the car in. My car fits in, but it will sit out while he's working on the car. I know this is no justification for not getting this all done, but I got very sick last year. Quicken has been very good about coming back with me after I finally got well enough, 9 days in a coma, that I could get back on track with this. And it's my fault, but I'm hoping that you will understand and give us the time we need to get the
How
roof
How much
done.
Time do you need?
Do the you roof think? Should be done within 30 days, mm-hmm. No problem. The car should be in the garage within the next couple of days. So we just need to push it in. And then at that point, I'm just leaving my car out. Yes, it's got a license, and it will sit outside right. until we get this settled. Either he sells it as, quote, junk, although he doesn't think it's junk. He wants to get it fixed, okay? Or it will stay in the garage until we sell it. So that's what I'm offering, and I'm hoping you all will understand. Thank you very much.
Okay. Does the board have any questions or comments?
Really?
What is your final recommendation, staff?
Next cutoff is recommendation of staff, yes.
The next cutoff date, which is June 4th?
The next one is May 6th.
Oh, May 6th.
We have
staff has reconsidered and is asking for the June cutoff date.
June cutoff date.
Sounds very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the June cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. So you have 2 months to get it done. And go ahead. Go
thank
do it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
We just need a motion.
No, we have a motion. All in favor. We have a motion.
Second.
All right, motion from Mr. Jones, second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right, case number CEB 04-15-13, Donald Emery and Annette Emery at 2049 Blaze Avenue, also known as 116 Sunrise Boulevard, is in compliance as of 3/31/2015. Number 14, case number CEB 04-15-14, Catherine Mode and Robert John McKee, site okay at 120 Sunrise Boulevard. Respondent present. No, let's hear from staff.
This is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector in this case is Vicki Langford, and I will present Ms. Langford to give you the factual testimony.
Good morning. Vicki Langford, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Inspector. My credentials are on file with the city. I have spoken with this gentleman. The RV has not moved because he's out of the country. I've spoken with him. His intention is to move it to a side yard, but he has to move electric poles and things. I told him what would happen at this hearing, so we would find him in noncompliance and expect him to be in compliance by the next hearing. He didn't think he could do that, and I said, then my recommendation to you would be to come in with some estimates, some information on positively moving forward to get this moved to the side yard. So we're in noncompliance. We're looking for compliance by the next cutoff, and he's aware of what he needs to do. He should be back in the country within a few days, so he knows what he needs to do, and he needs to come prepared to the next hearing.
Where is he?
Out of the country. I don't know. He didn't say specifically. The yard's nice. Everything is well kept. It's just that beautiful RV is plopped right there in front.
All right. Any comments from the board? So we're just going to give them to the next cutoff, right? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Next cutoff is May 5th.
May 5th. Next cutoff, May 5th. All right. Motion?
Yeah, May 6th.
May 6th. Motion from Mr. Smart. Second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Thank you. All right. Number 15, CEB 04-15-15, Sergey and Jane Modiri is in compliance as of 3/31. That would be 2015, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, case number, number 16, CEB 04-15-16, Lisa Imperato at 338 Taylor Avenue, Unit 1. Respondent present. All right, come up and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in, and then we'll let staff speak first.
It's actually Lisa McCarthy now, as you know.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Good morning.
Okay. All right, Mr. Stinson?
Yes, ma'am.
What would you like to tell us?
Here we go.
Good morning again. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, Blood City, Daytona Beach. Credentials are on file with City. This case came to us as a complaint driven from the Council on Aging, actually, because that individual was checking on the tenant and she had a problem with the conditions there. However, I made contact with the actual tenant living in the first unit. This is a multi-unit property. There's a unit up on the second floor, there's a unit on the first floor. I inspected we're here discussing the first floor unit.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell from the pictures, from the beginning of the inspection on the exterior, throughout the interior, all the violations did exist. The only change that has happened in the property to this point is that the landscaping has been addressed. Ms. McCarthy. She is in the process of attempting to sell the property, and I guess she will fill you in on the rest of that.
All right. Anything else from staff? All right. Ms. McCarthy?
I know. I have lots of issues on this place. First, let me address that the gentleman who lives downstairs has been my tenant for 14 years. He has issues. He's a hoarder. But I've been dealing with him for 14 years. It's really hard to get into his apartment. He's a veteran. I've tried to take care of him for years. Second issue is that we're going through an eviction with the people upstairs. We can't fix downstairs. The tub is leaking until we address the upstairs issue. But because we're in an eviction proceeding, I can't get into the people. We thought they were gone, and John knows this. We actually went to go change the locks, and then they moved back in. It's bad. There are lots of bad people in there. The people who I rented to are not the people that are in there anymore. Unfortunately, I have to evict and go through the proceedings. So we have all these issues going on, plus we're in the process of selling it. That's why I have not done much work to myself because I'm selling it at a very cheap price, and the gentleman who's purchasing it is supposed to be doing all the work. He was here earlier. He's met John. He's aware of what needs to be done. He has apartment buildings. He knows what to do.
So you've sold.
Tomorrow is the closing.
And it's the same person that was here with another property?
No, that was Henry. That was another deal, and you see how well Henry's done with it. I'm trying to lighten my load. I have had a lot of apartments. I've been in this town for years. Just about any of the code enforcement officers that have worked with me know that I will do what I say. I've always brought my properties into compliance. I have a son with brain cancer, and my brother passed away, and I wound up adopting his baby, so I'm trying to lighten my load and sell off these properties because I work in this town. I've been in this town for years. I don't want them to be dilapidated. I just can't do everything anymore, so that's why I'm trying to sell. And I'm handpicking people that are going to do the right thing and make the properties nice. As you see, we have a good success with Henry doing it at Arlington. And I believe that Mr. Corp, who also has, he's younger than me and has more energy, has a good relationship here also, and he has other apartment buildings. So the only reason why I haven't fixed it are those reasons, because normally if those items weren't in play, I would have gotten right on it and fixed it myself. But my hands are tied. We were supposed to actually close last month, but between the title company, his schedule, and my schedule, it was pushed up to tomorrow. So that's postponed it. Plus, I've started the eviction proceedings. I didn't start them before because they were gone. We thought they were gone. And, of course, nothing was done in the apartment because we're in the process of selling. And then they moved back in. So I'm like, so now I have to start, you know, with the eviction. So we have issues, but we're addressing them. Like I said, I've served the three-day notice. I should be going to, I'm going to follow through with the eviction, not Steve. And I think it's tomorrow that I have to go to the courthouse and take care of that. So we know what the problems are. They're easy fixes once we can get into the properties.
Yes.
Mike downstairs, I'm going to, the gentleman who's been living there, he hasn't lived in that apartment of mine for 14 years. He's lived in numerous ones. He's got issues. Steve's met him. He knows his issues. He needs to be babysat, and that's what I've done. I mean, when I met him, he was on the street, literally, and I've housed him for 14 years, but he's not an easy tenant. But, you know, where else is he going to go? You know, Steve has asked for the 30 day, another 30 days. I would like to see him have 60 if we
well,
can.
Well, it's actually
June.
You.
Me, yeah, I know.
Mean, until the house closes,
as of
this
tomorrow,
is you.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's not closed. We'll see. I mean,
I'll let John. If it does not close for whatever, I spoke to him now. I'm like, I'll let you out of this deal if you don't want to deal with this. But he's used to these kind of properties, I said, because I'll just get on it and do
it. Is Mr. Karp the fellow from Vegas?
Yes, you know Mr. Clark? Yes.
Well, he's been here several times.
So he's been buying up a lot of the older properties and fixing them up. I'm assuming he's in good standing.
Okay, Mr. Stenson, what would you like to say? This is just compliance or non-compliance?
It's not compliance,
actually. Mm-hmm. Yes, staff is requesting non-compliance next cutoff, mm-hmm. and just wanted to remind Ms. McCarthy, and I'm sure she probably already knows this, the statutory requirements and making sure Mr. Carr knows the status of this proceeding, where we are in this proceeding, and would encourage him to get in contact with Mrs. Stinson as soon as she's on board.
He took his card and did that, yeah. He had an appointment at 11. He didn't realize it was going to take so long that I was dead last on the list, but he was here this morning to try to do this. So if for whatever reason it does not close, you have my word that I'm going to get in there and do what needs to be done. I want it fixed. You know, I want to do what I need to do.
Okay. Any comments from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff day, May 4th?
Sixth.
Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, motion Mr. Smart, second Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got one item, Mr. Madam Chairman.
All right, miscellaneous business. Go ahead.
Yeah, I noticed that Mr. Smart brought to my attention that we really haven't been following the attendance rules here at the meeting.
It says members shall notify the chairman or the clerk that they're not going to attend a meeting. That's happened. That you usually get notice you're not going to somebody here or somebody's not going to be here. Usually you know somebody's going to be here or not going to be here.
Yes.
But the second part of the thing says if a member is absent for two or three consecutive meetings without cause, without prior approval of the chairman. So don't we need to probably at the meeting, if there's going to be an excuse, the chairman needs to excuse those people who do it on the record. Because it says we haven't been doing that part of it.
It does say that we have to excuse them? Yeah. So No.
It says a member is absent for two out of three consecutive meetings without right. cause and without prior approval of the chairman. He shall forfeit his appointment. So we have, so
the
in order
has to approve the absence.
Absence. We haven't been doing that. So let's go ahead. At least let's go ahead and approve Mrs. Lucas is not being here today. We get that out, at least get that out of the way.
Which then doesn't address the fact that we don't know until we get here.
Sometimes. And sometimes. They'll be late and they don't show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't.
I'd like to have a motion to approve the absence of Mrs. Lucas for today, April 9th. Is there such a motion?
No, I think that you just have to do excuse them. I think you need a vote. Because without prior approval of the chairman, so that's your decision.
So all then we don't need a vote.
No, we don't need a vote. Just have to.
All right, the chair is excusing the absence of Mrs. Lucas today, April 9th, 2015.
Did you have proper notice of? I'm not suggesting.
What is considered proper notice?
That somebody either notifies Amy.
Notified Amy this morning before the meeting.
Okay, so we didn't get.
No, so that's proper. In fact, Mrs. Himes informed us.
In all honesty, I don't go. If there was a voicemail message left for me, I wouldn't know that because I come straight here in the morning. So that's the only other thing. But from what Mrs. Himes said,
could we do that when you bring up the fact that you've heard from Member X? Not going to be here because they're sick.
No, I normally do.
Let's have this at that point. We'll on the record. Miss Koenig will just say, excuse them. Or not.
Okay. I did say this.
She did say that. She did say that. And I did not.
She did say that.
Yeah.
Right. No problem.
I thought, okay. So we don't need a motion to do that.
Except for your power.
Okay. Ah, really?
The problem was she missed? Did she miss two meetings?
No, she was here last month.
She was here February.
But it was
the
last
meeting in March.
Right.
It would be two out of three. So.
But if it's excused, then it doesn't count.
That's fine.
And we just did that. And we just did that. So, okay.
So what we are saying now, instead of calling Amy, you need to call you.
No, call Amy. That's fine. Calling Amy is fine.
I just don't, if you call my cell phone, if it's the morning of, because I don't force me an email, I get that on my phone.
Well, maybe I have your cell.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of people need a cell because, like,
no, she just needs
it. So long went off this morning, not last night.
Right. But Amy was notified. By you or through us, so that's fine.
The opinion of being Amy is this is Member X not going to be here because you're sick, and you'll say they're excused and nothing.
Okay.
We met the rules.
All right. Any other comments from the board? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.